Today's reading is from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land and threats in our palaces, then we shall raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you might have seen this picture in Leipzig recently. I saw it when I was jogging a while back. Mask auf und durch, mask on, power through. And putting the medical message, which was intended, to one side, let me suggest this is what we all do spiritually. It's very easy to do it. You turn up at church after a rotten week, you feel spiritually defeated or deflated, and someone asks, "So how are you doing?" "Yes, okay, yeah, not too bad." And then quickly, before any more questions can be asked, "But how are you doing?" Deflecting attention away. It's very easy to keep a spiritual mask up with others, with yourself, and even with God. And I suppose it's easy to keep the mask up because without the mask, we feel exposed, we feel vulnerable, maybe shamed or guilty. And so we do what the poster says, mask on and power through, hoping that no one will notice that we're faking. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at a passage from the prophet Micah that was just read to us, writing about 700 years before Jesus, at the same time as the prophet Isaiah. And Micah is a book all about judgment and rescue. 3 times God promises judgment is coming, 3 times he promises rescue is coming. And it's one of those rescue promises that we're going to be looking at in those 5 verses of Micah chapter 5. And the big idea that I want us to see is very, very simple. 4 words. We have a shepherd. We have a shepherd. And therefore life for the Christian, spiritually speaking, is not Maske auf und durch. Micah describes what the shepherd is like. The New Testament gives us his name, Jesus. So what is our shepherd King Jesus like? Well, we'll see he's God's choice, he's our safety, he's our peace. Firstly then, we have a shepherd and he is God's choice, or God's chosen one. And as Micah introduces us to this shepherd, he makes it very clear that this shepherd doesn't need a helping hand from the sheep. As God's choice, he depends on God, not on us. And that's there in verse 1. The context of verse 1 is that Israel has rejected God's loving care. They've been seeking security and safety and peace in other things and other people. And therefore God is raising up a new global superpower who will invade them and cart them off into exile. There'll be a siege, verse 1. It'll be successful. With a rod they will strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. A picture of defeat that is so complete that the ruler is humiliated in front of everyone. Beaten up and counted as nothing. And therefore, if this promised shepherd depends in any way upon God's people, upon our wisdom or strength or religious integrity, verse 1 says it's game over. But because the shepherd depends on God and not on us, there's hope. Verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler. If I say Buckingham Palace, you think Queen. If I say Schloss Bellevue, you think Bundespräsident. If I say White House, you think President, American President. You say the place, and someone else thinks of a person. Say Bethlehem, and everyone in the Old Testament thinks of King David, Israel's greatest king and greatest hero. Listen to David's biography from 1 Samuel 17. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah. In other words, David was a nobody from a deadbeat town that nobody cared about and from a very unimpressive family, and yet God chose him to be king. And not only did God choose David to be king, God promised that he would raise up from David's family a king for himself, a king of his choosing, who will put this world right. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12, God promises, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. So Micah here in verse 2 says, Bethlehem Ephrathah, and all his readers listening in think, hello, it's great King David's greatest son. Now by Micah's time, David was long dead. And even worse, his descendants were not ruling over united Israel anymore. Jerusalem was a spiritual disaster zone. And yet just drop the name Bethlehem Ephrathah into the picture, and God's people are directed away from the tragic circumstances they were living in towards God's unbreakable promise. God will raise up a king. Micah 5 verse 2, God says, Behold, I've chosen a shepherd king, just like I promised to David. Just like I promised from of old, from ancient days. And so because this shepherd is God's choice, he depends upon God, not on us. God will raise him up, not according to our performance, but according to his promise. And then secondly, because the shepherd is God's choice, that means he will serve God, not self. Did you see that in the middle of verse 2? Look at verse 2. From you shall come forth for me. Not for you, not for himself, but for me, for God. In other words, here is a shepherd who is a completely devoted man. He's never going to hit the headlines for moral scandal. He is not going to put blame and shame upon God's name. There is no dark side to him just waiting to be exposed. He is completely transparent. He is completely for God. He is a shepherd after God's own heart. A ruler for me. Verse 4 picks up on this. This shepherd shall do everything in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. In other words, his life is going to be absolutely inseparable from God's power, God's authority, and God's presence. You want to know what God's agenda for this planet is? Just look at the shepherd. A life fully devoted to glorifying, not himself, but to glorifying God. And what Micah looks forward to in the far distant, we see then lived out in the Gospels, don't we? Think of John's Gospel as Jesus, the Good Shepherd, marches forward to the cross to lay down his life for the sheep. And in John 14, 31, Jesus says, I go to the cross so that everyone may know I love my Father. And as Jesus prays in John 17, just before his death, his first request, Father, glorify your Son so that he may glorify you. This is the servant, the shepherd, who doesn't serve self but serves God. If you live long enough, I suspect at Christmas you'll have the unhappy experience of getting a present that really doesn't fit. Maybe it's socks, maybe it's something that doesn't suit you, the wrong colour, the wrong size. Micah tells us that God our Creator, as he gives us the ultimate Christmas gift, has chosen the very best for us. God's choice of this shepherd is not some hand-me-down. It is the perfect shepherd, chosen for us. And because God has chosen so well, our shepherd, the shepherd we have, is our safety. And that's our second heading. We have a shepherd, he is our safety. Nearly 500 years ago, one of my favourite little books was published in Heidelberg. It was a little question and answer book for teaching people about Jesus and the Christian faith. And this is part of what the Heidelberg Catechism says about how God shepherds his people, those who trust Jesus. God preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. And that's a great explanation, I think, of what Micah is talking about in the middle of verse 4. They, God's people, shall dwell secure. It's worth saying before we explain it any more, this is not a promise of an easy life or a comfortable life. The Christian life has always been the way of the cross, not the way of the couch. And in fact, actually, to be a Christian means to know some hurts that the world doesn't know. The sorrow of sin, for example. And yet the promise is there, they shall dwell secure, which in Micah's time meant no more invasion with a foreign force commanding your life. Well, that was probably what it means for Christians today, isn't it? They shall dwell secure means no foreign force, no evil power has the last say in your life. What God is promising here is that whatever is coming around the corner towards his people, hurtling towards them at speed, they need not fear it. It cannot take them out of God's grace. It cannot separate them from their shepherd as the shepherd leads them home. God's people shall dwell secure. And that isn't because God's sheep are so clever, so careful, so capable. If you've ever seen sheep in action, you know that they're dumb. They're pretty foolish all the time. No, God's people will dwell secure because God's shepherd is always on duty. Verse 4, and he shall stand. Isn't it wonderful to know that our shepherd isn't lying down having a nap? He's not bent over, out of breath, trying to catch up with this particularly naughty sheep he's just been running after. He's standing tall, always alert, always attentive, always ready to spring into action. He's not limping around, having been beaten up by the latest wolf. He's not slow to keep up with us. He's not knocked to the floor by our latest disaster. He's not overwhelmed by 2020's latest disappointment. And he shall stand. Well, that raises the question, where does a shepherd stand? And quite often in modern art, you see the shepherd standing at the back of the flock, behind his sheep, following them at a distance. In the Bible, shepherds always stand at the front, so that the sheep are not cannon fodder for the shepherd. They're not an acceptable loss. As long as he can bring 99 home, who cares about the one that went missing? Jesus puts himself first between his sheep and all danger, and that is why they shall dwell secure. And therefore Micah continues, he shall stand and shepherd, which in the context of dwelling secure seems to me not so much a focus on the shepherd's feeding, but on his guarding. Think of all the things that look at sheep and think, hello, you're my next meal. Wolves, bears, anything that would see Jesus' flock as their next meal, Jesus promises to guard his sheep from. And not only from dangers without, Jesus guards his sheep from dangers within. From our own stupidity. From our own tendency to wander away. In the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of his God, he turns all our evil into good. And to stay with the picture of shepherding and sheep, Think to yourself, as this shepherd is at work, how much do his sheep understand what is going on? Well, not very much at all. We get confused. We lose sight of the shepherd, and yet he never loses sight of us. His ability to shepherd is not limited by our understanding of him. He cares for us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And how could he not? Because, verse 4, we are his flock. You realize you're not Jesus' project. You're not his 9 till 5, his task that he happily leaves in the office as he heads off to Fire Island on the weekend. No, we're his flock, his own precious sheep, dearly beloved, entrusted to him by God the Father, known by name. Well, imagine you're a wolf. You might want to feel your teeth and marvel at how they've grown, even as I say that. Imagine you're a wolf and you're feeling just a little bit hungry. And you see one of his flock, clueless, careless, constantly wandering away from the shepherd. And you think, wonderful, a takeaway meal, a snack to go. Yet what do you have to do to get at one of these sheep? You've got to get past the shepherd, as he stands and shepherds his flock in the name of the Lord his God. What chance do you have? Verse 4, his sheep shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. In other words, God the Father himself ensuring that this shepherd has no limits on his power. He is everywhere his sheep are. There is no postcode and no locked down flat or room where he cannot be. Wherever his sheep are, he is. I read this week, actually it was just last night, of a journalist in the Zeit newspaper commenting on Christianity and faith and saying, wishing out loud, if only I had something to stand as a buffer between myself and the pulverizing Malmunda, pulverizing randomness of the universe. Very easy to empathize with that this year, isn't it? If only we had something to stand between us and the pulverizing randomness of this universe. And Micah says, you don't have something, you have someone, you have a shepherd. And if you're not yet a Christian, if you haven't repented and trusted Jesus, ask him to forgive you, you can have him as your shepherd today. If you would just give up your self-reliance and ask Jesus, would you be my shepherd? What a shepherd we have. He is our safety. And then lastly, he is our peace. Now, in Micah's time, there were still many clergy out and about in Israel speaking. And yet what they were speaking was not helpful. They had rejected the idea of a God who judges, who cares about sin and how we behave. They preached a God of indulgence, a God of tolerance. You can see that in chapter 2, verse 11. Micah says, if a man should go about and preach utter wind and lies, saying, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink, he would be the preacher for this people. In other words, their message is, go on, treat yourself, do what you want to do, you do you, have another drink. And in chapter 3, verse 5, Micah exposes them. They cry peace, Micah 3, verse 5, when they have something to eat. In other words, you give these preachers a full tummy, you scratch their back and make them happy, and they'll say whatever you want to say. What do people's itchy ears want to hear? Everything's fine. God loves you. But it's a fake peace, it's not real. And the truth is, God really does care how we live. He measures all our thoughts, all our words, all our deeds against his own perfect character. And therefore, Micah's message begins in chapter 1 with the announcement, listen up, God is coming and the whole earth is going to melt. It's what we heard in the bleak midwinter. When our God comes to reign, heaven and earth will flee before him. And chapter 1, verse 4 says that all of this is for the transgression, the Übertretung of Jacob, and for the sins of the house of Israel. In other words, God, the one true God, the God who made us, really does care how we live. And he will hold us to account. He will judge. Which makes chapter 5, verse 5, and the beginning of it all the more amazing, doesn't it? And he shall be their peace. And we know from what Micah has said, this isn't some fake peace that these false prophets are peddling. Give me a nice reputation and I'll tell you anything you want to hear. No, this is real peace with God that God himself accomplishes, that God himself gives to us. He shall be their peace. How? How is that possible? Well, it's because this shepherd won't just promise peace. He won't just be a signpost. There's peace if you just go over there and do that and follow these rules. He himself will be our peace. Imagine you're out for a walk in the forest. You've got your walking boots on. It's a lovely winter's day. The sun's shining. You're having a great time. And then comes a patch of ground ahead which is full of thorns and nettles. And how are you going to get through? Well, you're going to find the person with the biggest feet among you, which at LEC will probably be me, size 47, which will probably be the biggest feet you can find. And you'll get that person to go first and to stamp down all the nettles and the thorns so that you can go in safety, so that the way is cleared for you to go. Nettles and thorns stamped down. Or a different picture. Imagine you're by the Cozzy and you're having a competition with a friend who can throw a stone the furthest. And so you pick the right stone, arm back, big throw, and you see the stone goes off and soon it sinks, never to be seen again. Well, those two pictures tell us what our shepherd has done with our sin so that he can be our peace. All the reasons God has to be not at peace with us, every reason God has to be angry with us and to judge us, he has trampled down on Jesus as Jesus died. He has cast them down in judgment as Jesus went to the cross, never to be seen again, never to be brought up again and held in our face. That's what Micah says in chapter 7, verse 19. God will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Did you hear that? He will tread our iniquities down, trample down, stamp down, so that the way is clear. He will cast all our sins like a rock into the depths of the sea, never to be brought up again. This shepherd can be our peace because he deals with our sin. Which is why every other claim of peace on earth cannot work, because it cannot deal with human sin. People without Jesus do not have peace with God. People with Jesus do have peace with God. Do you see here? Jesus is not the shepherd that God sends to beat us into shape, to kick us into getting our act together. God will again have compassion on us, Micah 7. Verse 19, and in his compassion he sends us a shepherd to deal with our sin and be our peace. This is the shepherd we have. What does this mean? This means you and I do not need to wake up thinking that God is out to get me today. We don't need to wake up, see the news headlines and think, this is God out to crush me this Christmas. The next time life feels like a car crash, everything just seems to be falling apart around you or inside you, you can know for certain this is not God paying me back for how badly I've treated him. And you can know that because we have a shepherd who is our peace. God will never pay us back as badly as we've treated him. Because the Christian's peace is Jesus. Because the Christian's peace is Jesus, our peace is not some house of cards that our latest spiritual sin will just send hurtling to the floor. As long as Jesus stands in heaven at the right hand of the Father, we have peace. I suspect this Christmas is going to be tough for us. Reduced interaction with others is a reduction of our humanity. Not singing to one another in church is going to hurt. If singing helps free us from our burdens so often, then not singing will leave us feeling more burdened. And it is important to say that God has not promised us that 2021 will be any better than 2020. I know that's what everyone's hoping, but God has not promised us that. But in these dark days, God has promised us a shepherd who will not change. And he's not just the shepherd, he is our shepherd. So mask on and power through? Well, no, not at all. We have a shepherd. And we can go to him with all our sheepishness. And in our interactions with one another, it's not like the nativity play when you're a kid. And you know, in the nativity plays for kids, everyone wants to be Joseph or Mary or an angel or something. No one wants to be a sheep because sheep don't say anything and they're weak and stupid. Well, in the nativity play of life, all of us are sheep. Which means we don't need to wear a mask in front of each other. So whatever is growling at you from the shadows, your shepherd is stronger. Whatever comes at you, this shepherd is standing tall, and at the end of it, you will be standing tall with him. We have a shepherd. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you so much that in your tender kindness and compassion, you have chosen a shepherd king for us to be our safety, to be our peace. Father, in all the weaknesses that we bring with us as sheep, we thank you and praise you that Jesus cares for us and will not let go of us. In his name we pray. Amen.